Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, Cherries fans, and welcome to the second look here on Back of the Net. Whether you're watching on YouTube or you're listening via the audio pod, thank you for joining us. We truly appreciate it. My name's Sam Davis.
My name's Tom Jordan.
And it's been a difficult weekend being a Bournemouth fan. But look, we've been overwhelmed with some of the lovely comments to our match day vlog, which has garnered over 50,000 views. And there are some Arsenal fans all over the world that are reveling in the joy and ecstasy of seeing a last minute winner with the last kick of the game at the Emirates. However, I've got to say, fair play, you've been very humble and gracious in victory with some of the comments, and you can sort of understand it from our point of view, and they're very sympathetic with the heartbreak that we felt, mate. And that was agony, wasn't it? It really was.
Yeah, it's a horrible way to lose a football match. We should be used to it, really, but it was literally the last kick, as you say, mate. So yeah, horrible, but you know, we'll dive into it. But with the domination Arsenal had in the game, I suppose it shouldn't be too much of a surprise. It's just the way it happened for us is a real blow. It would have been such a massive point, or 3 points, obviously. So yeah, we're gutted. And you saw that, as you say, vlog fan cams. I was definitely feeling a bit salty after, because I was so angry. But yeah, as you say, mate, they've been really great and humble, and of course they're going to be absolutely buzzing, because that could be a game that they look back on. What was it, like 12 games to go, and they go, do you remember that Bournemouth game?
Yeah.
You know, if they win the league by a few points, they'll be going, you know, that was massive. So I totally appreciate them celebrating like they did.
And as you may have seen on the preview, Arsenal fans, if you watched it, we do have what's called an away day show, an away day review show that doesn't take into account the football match, but just rates the whole away day experience at the Emirates and North London on a tier list. That video is going to be coming out later this week, so there's a reason to subscribe. And it's fair to say that the atmosphere has improved at the Emirates, but what was it like during the 90 minutes? We know at full time it was pretty raucous, but throughout we'll give you our honest views. They're very candid, and also, of course, we'll go through the pre-match atmosphere, the stadium, the view, the concourse, all that good stuff as well. So yeah, why not give this video a like, but also subscribe to be notified as to when that one is out. Now, this one, I think, is a difficult one to work out emotionally, mate, because even 2 days afterwards, usually my feelings have settled down a little bit. But we've asked for the help of people on Twitter to basically maybe ask us questions and provide some thought-provoking comments, because it's a performance that I think should give us a bit of optimism, but at the same time, I also feel more negative as a result of it as well. No one expected us to be 2-0 up at the Emirates, but we were. And then conceding from being 2 goals up and losing the game, well, we've done that before. We've got record this season.
We have. So it's completely, as you say, mate, it's very difficult. I think you'll see that with what fans are saying. It's very split because there are positives, but there's also reoccurring themes that are a real concern. And we're so desperate for points at the moment. So, yeah, it depends which way you look at it. But I think the game as a whole, it was always going to be difficult. They're always going to have the ball. They're always going to have more chances. And we felt they were always going to win.
Yeah.
So you look at it like that and go, well, you know, with very little of the ball and very little chances, we've got to cut the goals. Mm. So there's loads of things that we can look at and take positives from. But, yeah, the overriding kind of feeling at the moment is just real frustration and real. I know it's not the case, but I've said to a few people, it feels like it's only Bournemouth that I could happen to. I mean, that's not true, because every club probably says that. But for me, it's just like, of course. They have one corner left and they score. And I went, yeah, of course. Of course they've scored. Of course they have. And it felt a bit rim. But it wasn't, I don't know, I'm thinking of the Leeds and the Tottenham game. And I think we were part of our own downfall a bit more than them too, actually.
Yeah,
I think this one was probably more Arsenal's quality winning them the game, whereas in them two I felt it was more our own downfall that caused us losing them.
So we'll get the bad news out of the way. This is the current league table. As you can see, it was a good weekend for Arsenal, maintaining their gap. Of course, they wanted Newcastle to do something for them at the Etihad against Manchester City. Didn't happen though, but they've retained their 5-point gap, 12 games to go. But look, let's have a look down the table. And we can see that Bournemouth are now propping up the table. I don't think we've been bottom all season, have we? This is the first time.
No, it's obviously, I think it's extra. It hurts more because it's Southampton that obviously went above us. But really, I think if you put it into perspective, they beat Leicester. We wanted to keep, if Leicester had won, we'd be second from bottom. But Leicester would be away.
And we're still close. It's very still congested down there. So if
Palace down, isn't it? There's quite a lot of teams still in it. For sure. Definitely some teams in it. But it's always horrible when you're the team right at the bottom. And maybe in the next press conference we should ask Gary again if he knows who's above us, because he just needs to say every single team.
Every single team. Yeah, that's right. I couldn't believe that quote. So the baseline tracker table, of course, it has us down there as well. Saints on -6 with us as well. -5 for Everton. And there you can see Brentford, Brighton, Newcastle still doing well. Of course, Newcastle to some extent may be part of a big seven now, you could say. But we need to start picking up points. If we had got something, that would have been one less, and then it would have been three less had we held on to the win. We'd be on -3. But there we are on -6. But Tom, you know what? Let's bring in some optimism. Liverpool have been so topsy-turvy lately, and we've got them next at home, mate, and they've been struggling to score goals.
Did you watch any games yesterday?
No, I didn't know. What was the... Yeah, because they played Man United. United are really good.
Oh, they're on fire at the moment. So 7-0.
What?
7-0 Liverpool. So, good time to play them. Remember when they were on a bad run, we lost 9-0. So it's now they're on a good run. I'm a little bit concerned.
You know, sometimes when you get relegated, when we got relegated, and also when you get promoted, these little things happen. And when they happen, you think, you know, that could be one of the things that's a reason why we're getting promoted, why we're getting relegated. And I think Liverpool turning their form around in one match against a team that's so on fire like Man United, who've just won a domestic trophy, netting 7 past them.
Oh, I know.
Cause for concern or what? I mean, we're all looking at that match thinking, we might be able to get something from that. Now I'm thinking, no chance.
You can't write it, really. I think Liverpool win 7-0. Of course, they're playing us next. Man, you lose 7-0. They've got Southampton next. Yeah, of course they have. It feels like it was just typical. But as I said, mate, we when they were on a bad run, we lost 9-0. So, you know, maybe this is a better thing, I don't know. But it was one of them games, wasn't it? Really weird one. Did not expect that. But no, the team's got points off them, you never know. They are a lot better at Anfield, by the way. I think away from home, they've only got like 3 or 4 more points than us on the road. They're not be good on the road.
So. All right, you made me feel better with
that. Yeah.
That's okay.
I would be interested to know. I think I saw someone on Twitter say it. I'd love someone in the comments to let me know if you know this fact. What's the worst aggregate score ever? Because we've lost 9-0 to Liverpool. You know, over the two, get home and away. What's the worst ever? There can't be, do you know what I mean? We've got to be in for that, I would have thought.
Bloody
like, if we lose 3 or 4-0, surely that's the worst.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be, isn't it?
Anyway, positives.
Yeah, anyway, on to the positives. Well, look, firstly, we'll check out the XG table. If you haven't checked out the other 14, go follow them on Twitter at the moment. And you can see that we're bottom in terms of the expected goals, which doesn't bode particularly well. But also, in the other charts, as you can see on screen, progressive yards carried, we're not even in there. And also, progressive passes as well. So, we're struggling at the moment. And we were struggling when we saw the team lineup come out at 2 o'clock. We were having a couple of beers at the Faltering Fullback in Finsbury Park, and little murmurings were happening on Twitter about which players might be omitted. And then those fears were confirmed, and we saw that both Lerma and Traore were not in the squad, which was a concern.
Yeah, real worry. I think the only slight positive was Lewis back in the squad, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just to know that he's not, you know, he's now back and available, but obviously it went with Rothwell. I guess Lewis wouldn't have been ready to start the game, so we've all mentioned kind of obviously letting Pearson go and stuff. It meant that we probably had to go with two in the middle. We didn't really have many options. Obviously stuck with the back five, which I expected us to, not that I wanted to. I think I was a little bit surprised that Semenyo come in instead of Anthony.
Yeah.
For Traore actually, but they started kind of as I expected. It was just Vieira, wasn't it? Come in for Xhaka, so they rotated a little bit. Obviously Tomiyasu as well at right back, but he's done that before. I don't know. Listen, the game obviously was the game, but I just look at it and go, they haven't got a striker. Also, haven't got a striker in that whole, not even, forget the start 11, they haven't even got one on the bench. So they're playing like a kind of false nine, if you like, the term a lot of people use in Trossard. And we've got three centre-halves, and they haven't got anyone up there to mark. So it always concerns me a little bit, and I think the way the game went showed that they're always going to have all the ball and pick up little pockets. But it was up to our centre-halves to just get on the end of everything and block everything, which they did do pretty well for large parts, to be fair to them. But yeah, I was concerned seeing the lineup, but I would have been concerned with any lineup because Arsenal are pretty formidable at the moment.
One of the things I really wish we would do more often is have fast starts, and I feel it's really frustrating where sometimes we just soak it up for. Oh, we scored!
Mental, wasn't it?
What?
Yeah, crazy.
That was absolutely crazy. We were just taking our seats and just absorbing the atmosphere and. First part of the game, you're not really concentrating, and all of a sudden, I kind of looked over and said, what? Sorry, am I? Do not scratch your eyes. Let's talk about this goal then. Phil Bill opened the scoring then, early doors. Was it a set piece? Looks like it might have been.
Yeah, there was obviously some sort of plan there because we loaded one side and went down the other.
It wasn't like, but it didn't work to perfection. I think there was a lot of luck with it, wasn't
it? Of course.
Because obviously the ball, you know, like you say, we did load the left side, and then who was it that ran across and then spread out with a nice curl pass to Ouattara?
Yeah, it was out to Ouattara. Was it Dom? I can't remember.
No, that was Rothwell. Was it?
Rothwell. Yeah, Marvin Rothwell actually. But yeah, Ouattara down that right hand side. It was Paul Merson said Ouattara. Ran down that right hand side, and yeah, it wasn't like the Fulham one we had last season.
That was planned to perfection.
Well, that was just an executed plan. This was just kind of, I think it was probably, if you get a kick-off, try and surprise them a little bit, load that side, get down the other side and get a ball in the box, never know.
9.11 seconds.
Crazy. But I mean, from their point of view, I think Gabriel and Zinchenko got to do better on that left side, and they should clear it, it's not. But Billy makes a good off-the-ball run, and he's there. So, couldn't believe it. It was crazy, and I thought, well, at least we're going to celebrate something. It was, good fun. And, as you said, mate, I think when you're playing this five and when you just sit back and let the other team have the ball, which we do virtually every game, my fear is always if they score first, then what do you do? So getting the first goal was really good because then you've got something to hold on to.
What is it about the South Coast and Premier League records? I mean, heaviest defeats?
Yeah, true, yeah. Bournemouth-Southampton, 9-0.
Fastest Premier League hat-trick?
Oh, yeah, Mane, and then we had the Football League one
with
James Ayter.
And then fastest goals?
Shane Long.
What's that, 7.69 seconds or something?
He's Bournemouth too, though, Shane Long.
Yeah, of course.
But weird. It is weird that there's that correlation there. Even when we bloody get that goal, it's still... I just looked straight away, did that beat Shane Long's? No, it didn't. Nah, it's class.
But worst time to score. Worst time to score when you've got 90-plus minutes ahead of you. That's terrible.
No, I know what you mean. It kind of didn't remind me, but you know, like, just because I'm just thinking, obviously, the other team I support is England. And do you remember that Euros final against Italy where we scored early? Yeah. Think, oh, was that the worst thing that could have happened? Because then we're just hanging on to it. But what I will say is we would have been that defensive and let them have the ball anyway.
Yeah,
yeah. So to have a goal was brilliant. It wasn't like we changed the game plan because we scored so early, was it? Let's be honest. We never have any of the ball, so...
So let's check out the chronological match timeline. This is how it went. We all know how it went. Yeah, 1 minute. But of course, we all know it was 9 seconds. And yeah, they made a couple of changes there. But, you know, you can see the dynamic of the game on screen if you're watching on YouTube. And look, flick to the other end of the timeline and you've got the late winner, which of course we're going to come on to. I think someone said Gary Lineker, was it, saying it was... the longest gap between
goals,
an opening goal and then an ending goal. I mean, it was basically the last kick of the game, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it's like, well, like I say, it's seconds into the game and then, you know, well over what the normal game is. So,
How do you reckon that, do you think it changed Arteta's, like, way of thinking when we're taking the lead early doors or not?
It's No, I don't think so.
It happened so early.
Yeah, it happens, and they would have been hoping they can get a few goals at home to Bournemouth anyway. So I think they just, yeah, they keep going as they will. It would have been frustrating for them. But yeah, I don't think it changes anything really. I don't think it did, to be honest. I think the only thing that changed was that like early injury to Trossard.
Yeah.
Meaning Smith Rowe come on and Martinelli had to go through the middle. And for them, they probably thought, God, one time we haven't got a striker and the one that's playing there gets injured. So I thought that might help us a little bit. Because I actually think that first 20 minutes, Trossard was really, really good. Mm. So that was probably a plus for us. But apart from that early injury, I think they would have kept calm, I think, Arteta and the players, thinking we're going to get chances.
Yeah, I think so. And look, in terms of that first goal, Tales from the South End on Twitter, he said, for all the Gary O'Neill bashers out there, I haven't read one comment that actually gives him credit for the open goal. Obviously, he admitted it in his post-match interview that it was a planned routine. He very much played it down, obviously, still disappointed. Once you've got an agenda, it's hard to see the positives, but I saw promising signs for the rest of the season and still reckon that we will stay up. And we definitely had a tactic in that first half. Soak, 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 and hit him on the counter. And, you know, I was saying to you just off air just then, like the players that we've signed in January are conducive to fast transitions. And we certainly did that at times. And one of the breaks where Dom... you know, good burst of pace to set through Billing, and he really did well, but fell to Ouattara, and he should have probably done better with that. Ramsdale did well to come out and smother it, but I was looking at that, not really seeing what happened. It felt quite far away. At one point, I thought, has it hit the bar? What's happened? And I honestly was expecting the net to ripple.
Yeah, I think it's one of them where you go, from our point of view, we've got to be scoring that. You've got to finish that charge. You're going to get a very limited amount of chances in this type of game, and you've got to take that. It was a hell of an opportunity, but from their perspective, what a massive save from Aaron Ramsdale.
Huge.
And I think there is a case where Ouattara should do better, but Ramsdale does brilliantly. It's not one or the other. I think it's a bit of both. And you mentioned it to me, and it's a fair point that I think Dom and Ouattara almost get in each other's way a little bit. If one of them's not there, you wonder if it would... Because I think you said it to me off air, mate, that if Dom's a little bit further back, then Ouattara can almost just pass it straight to him and he's got an open goal.
Easy, yeah. I don't think Dom knew that he was there.
No, and equally, if Ouattara isn't there, can Dom get to it in a better angle? I'm not sure, but regardless, Watara's just coming onto it and he's got to lift it a little bit more. It's a difficult one. It's a split second and he's got with it first time. So, but yeah, that was a real challenge. But it was a positive that in transitions and on the counter-attack that we could have that threat because, as you say, we've got players... that should be able to hurt teams on the break. We've got a lot of pace.
But frustrating though, mate. We rarely did that in the first half. Like, we rarely got forward. And I check out the average positions and, oh my God, it's unbelievable. So you've got Arsenal with nearly every player. In fact, it has got every player apart from Aaron Ramsdale, who's not even in his penalty box. He's basically halfway up his half. Like, even when we got beat 9-0 by Liverpool, Alisson was in his box. Yeah, Ramsdale's basically near the centre circle. And everyone's in our half. Contrast that with what we got, and everyone is in our own half. Maybe Ryan Christie's like one of the hairs on his right knee.
He's got a big toe, eh?
Yeah, I know.
No, I think Ramsdale was further away from his goal in average position than our centre-halves were from our goal. Do you know what I mean? He was, the average positions were a joke.
This sort of, you know, soaking it up, it's so frustrating because we were just inviting on. But that said, apart from one double save from Neto, he actually wasn't
no,
tested we, that much. Like, our defence was really good and do deserve a lot of credit, I think.
Yeah, I think you've got to say the three centre-halves were blocking everything, getting headers on everything. We
Meps and Stephen, yes, I thought they were excellent.
Forcing them wide and just blocking everything. But it's a really difficult one, mate, because if you go toe-to-toe with Arsenal, we're going to get battered.
Yeah.
We're going to get battered. So you've got to soak it up. They're going to have a lot of possession. I mean, it was outrageous how much they had. Mm. But they're going to have all the ball, so you can't expect us to just go toe-to-toe. That would be very naive. So you've got to soak it up and look for counter-attacks. That makes sense. Having said that, I think if you're going to do that all the time, because, listen, this isn't a one-off. Every time we play, we beat Wolves.
Yeah.
And that was our only win since November. And in that game, they had all the ball.
Yeah.
We always let the other team have the ball. And you normally think, okay, a team's doing that because, one, they feel they've got a counter-attacking threat. Tick. We do have a counter-attacking threat. But, two, because they're bloody solid and hard to break down. We're the worst defence in the league.
Yeah.
So you give up that many chances and you allow Arsenal to have that much control of the game, you're going to lose. Surely you're going to lose. And obviously it went to the wire, but we did lose.
What about the games that we have? Like, for instance, I don't know if you know these stats off the top of your head. I don't expect you to. But, like, when we played Everton and beat them 3-0...
They had more possession.
Really?
They did have more possession, yeah. It's not a... Yeah, we won 3-0 and they had more possession in the game.
When was the last time we had more possession? Do you know off the top?
Yeah, because I looked, didn't I? I did have a quick look and it was when we lost to Palace 2-0. It's a weird one. I think the games where we've probably...
So could you say that Gary O'Neill tactically has got that right then?
What I'll say is when we get the first goal against teams that you could argue in and around us, so Palace, Southampton, them sort of teams, we've let in the first goal, haven't we? And we're at home.
Yes, yeah.
So then their tactic changed, which I think means we have the ball because they then sit back. That's all it is, in my opinion. But we're trying to play on the counter-attack all the time. And like I say, obviously it can work. We've got players that can do that now. And we'll see. But my concern is that teams won't play, obviously, because they're not going to have the quality. So teams won't play like our previous couple of oppositions. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. But we're a team that are not going to... I mean... I'd find it difficult to think, will we have more possession than the opposition for the rest of the season? Probably not.
No.
I'd be surprised. But that doesn't mean that we're going to go down because of it.
And it's not, you know, being a Bournemouth fan, like, maybe it's an entitled thing, but we've always, previously, under Eddie, I know we always talk about him, you know, we always dominated the ball.
Yeah.
And so we're now going to games expecting us to, like, see us touch the ball for, like, a third of the time of the opposition. And it's a shame because we've got players of good technical quality, but then I watch games like that and you think, well, have they got technical quality? Because the amount of times we were just, okay, 5-4-1, right? I thought Dom should always be the outlet, but quite often we were just hoofing it up the pitch and just giving it straight back to Arsenal. Whereas Dom, you know, Dom, he didn't have any help. He did work really hard. We'll have a conversation about Dom a little bit later on, I'm absolutely certain. But I don't know, sometimes they just make stupid technical mistakes, like little passes to feet not working and stuff. Like, they are professional footballers here. But yeah, they just seem to, like, it's almost a mentality thing.
Yeah, I do think we panic a little bit, for sure. And there's no, because we're playing that counter-attack and then because we've got so little of the ball, when we get it, there's no real options and everyone's dead on their feet and we just go along the Dom, and I do feel for him. But, the worrying thing for me is, I mean, it's a completely different team and who knows what happens. But the one time I felt, you just mentioned Eddie's team's always having the ball, the one time I felt we went away from that a little bit was when Eddie tried to go a little bit more counter-attack and we got relegated. But having said that, the calibre of player we've got in this squad is set up to be counter-attack. So I do understand
it. Do you think almost he's trying to adopt a Leicester City style when they won the Premier League?
Because they were
they were very counter-attacking, weren't
they? They were, but they could defend properly. And I do worry that I don't think... As I say, I thought the three centre-half's done okay, but we always look like we're going to concede goals. We concede so many chances. It's there in black and white. We concede the most goals in the league. So our defence is not going to keep us up. So we can't allow teams to have this many opportunities in games.
Are we going to, you know, the five at the back conversation that we've had before, at Man City, obviously, you know, why don't we play to our strengths? If we had that five at the back conversation after 60 minutes at Arsenal, we haven't talked about the Senesi goal, but we will very shortly. You could say, actually, Gary O'Neill's right for playing five at the back.
I would disagree. Because it's only because they weren't finishing chances. They had all the ball. They were picking up the ball in midfield all the time because they overloaded us.
How many shots did you say they had?
30, 31, something like that. So they had...
And what about the Liverpool game?
Yeah, they had nearly double the amount of chances than when we lost 9-0. They had nearly double the amount of chances. They had a lot more possession. So you can't tell me that obviously, if we win the game, you go, you know, you can't argue with it. We've won the game. Who cares? But, fact of the matter is they didn't finish their chance. The only reason, they had 31 shots.
Do we just create reasons, though? Are we just creating reasons to be anti-Gary O'Neill or pro-Gary O'Neill based on what happens afterwards? The power of hindsight.
Of course. But you can only go off that. What are we supposed to do? No. You can only go off facts, and the facts of the matter are he's managed a team three times who have been two goals ahead, and we've lost every single one of them. That's not a you know, one of them things anymore. When you've done it three times that you've led and not even got a point out of any of them, that is a concern. That is a concern. And when we go into the game, mate, you'll probably would have asked me anyway. But when you go, so we go 2-0 up, which we'll talk about. They bring it back to 2-1. As soon as they make it 2-1, we make a double change.
Yeah.
As soon as panic, then they make it 2-2. We make a change.
Yeah.
It just screams of panic to me. But listen, it wasn't. I didn't feel like it was all Gary Neal's decisions that lost us that football match. Of course it wasn't. It was the fact that Arsenal were a lot bloody better than us.
Hmm.
But we're not. I don't feel like we're trying to find what I was absolutely gutted for him and gutted for Gary O'Neill and gutted for the players. But the fact of the matter is, that's three times. And we're just going on. We have conceded the most goals in the league. We are the worst team in the league at the moment. Hmm. What are we supposed to say? But it was. It went down to the wire, mate, but you look at it in black and white, they would have been absolutely dead. It would have looked like a robbery if we hadn't have lost that game, really, when you look at the stats. It's outrageous.
It's all about the, you know, like the context of the game, because if you'd have said, oh, yeah, you know, Tom, if I'd have said to you 5 minutes before kickoff, we're actually going to be losing 3-2 today, you'd be like, oh, yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
But it's all the context of the way it happens.
Yes, because if you say to me, we're 2-0 up with half hour to go, would you take 3-2? Of course I wouldn't.
Yeah, exactly. And you're also playing Arsenal as well. Mm. And, you know, the calibre of the team. I mean, Arsenal, I thought, I think most of their fans will probably say they were slightly under par in some ways. However, in other ways, you could say that they dominated the ball. We were one of these teams that parked the bus, and I'm sure their fans on AFTV fan cams and stuff would have been very frustrated, but they found out a way to get past us, even though it took them to the last kick of the game. But I tell you what, though, 1-0 became 2-0 in the second half, mate, and we earned a free kick that was a really good delivery, actually, which then produced a corner, which Joe Rothwell went over to take, and what good delivery.
Yeah, really good delivery.
And you know what? One of the only goals of the season where I could sense it was going in before Senesi made contact. I mean, like the run.
Yeah, you just see it a mile off.
And I don't know, like aesthetically, I love that. I love it where a player curves his run, gets a really good head on it, really powerful head, peels off straight towards the away fans.
Yeah, lovely.
Absolute superb. Absolute limbs in the away end. And at that point, am I starting to believe?
That was the first time in the game where I thought we'd get something here. Because I think at 1-0 at half time, I was loving it and thinking, yeah, this is, I didn't expect this. But I think Arsenal were still favourites to win that game, and I thought they'd probably still have too much. Mm. But I was pleased with obviously the result at half time. But when we got the second, I suddenly thought, oh, hang on, because they've got to get three now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking even a point. So, yeah, it was a big moment, a really good goal. Really well worked set piece, which was nice to see, because I think people like Senesi are good in the air. And we need, if you're a team at the bottom, you've got to score some goals from set pieces. You're not going to have much of the ball, as we keep saying. So set pieces are going to be key. And we're not very good at defending them, so let's make sure we can attack them a little bit better. And it was a good ball, because we've struggled with players actually putting in a decent cross. And Traore recently, and now Rothwell showed that they can put a decent ball in the box.
And when they whip the ball in with that amount of power, it doesn't take much, much in terms of neck muscles to generate your own power. Just need to direct it, redirect it, and that's what he did. And looking at the shots chalkboard from who scored, so after that goal, there we are, we're in blue there with three chances, and two of them were goals. Mm. One of them was Ouattara. But look, Arsenal absolutely peppered us at full time, though. We added one more. I think that was Dom's chance from an angle, but I mean, look at that. Absolutely crazy.
By the way, comparing to the 9-0 at Liverpool, we had 5 shots against Liverpool.
Yeah.
It's crazy, isn't it? It is crazy.
Ugh. Sammy tweeted and said, as a game in isolation, it's not horrific. In the context of our league position and the history of being 2 goals up, it's pathetic. You can't let a team like that have 80% possession and expect to come away with anything. So with that in mind, 2-0, did you have Leeds in the back of your head? Did you have Spurs in the back of your head? Or were you just riding the crest of a wave and just hoping at that point in time?
Yeah, I can't pretend that I was thinking about them. I was kind of just enjoying it and seeing what happens. my concern come when they got the one, because I always think that you just got to keep it a 2-0 for as long as possible.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I agree with Sammy there to an extent. It's, I play six a side with you sometimes, mate. If we had three games in like over a season, we kept throwing away 2-goal leads. At six a side, I'd be going, there's something all right. Do you know what I mean though? That's, it doesn't matter what level you're at. You can't keep doing that. So I think that's kind of a good generalisation of the fact that in isolation, it's, we didn't expect to win the game, it's not too bad. But it's when you look at over the course of a season to throw away another 2-goal lead. As you mentioned there, mate, goals go in at different times and, you know, you get off of that before the game, then you're going to be okay. But it was the way it happened, wasn't it?
So Arsenal fans were quiet and down, I would say, at that point in time. But they were certainly more enthusiastic after seeing their team score a couple of goals relatively quickly.
Yeah.
One of them was Partey at the far post. Neto got his knee on it, and I thought at one stage it saved, but it went in the side netting. Goal.
His punch should be better.
Agreed.
That, in my opinion. I don't think he didn't clear the first one away well enough for me. So, yeah, I think he should get a better punch on that. But, yeah, good finish for them. And weirdly, you almost think I would have taken away both of the goals, so I would rather have just stayed 1-0.
Yeah.
Because when you go 2-0 and then they score, it lifts them. Whereas if it stayed 1-0, do you know what I mean? So it was really frustrating that I think we only held on for about 5 minutes.
And then Ben White scoring as well. It looked like Neto saved, but the watch went off. A defensive mistake again?
Yeah, got caught on that side.
Was it Jay-Z that maybe...
No, Fredericks.
Fredericks, yeah. Of course it was. Oh, yeah, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this in context. So, there was a change that was made.
Yeah, like I say, straight after they scored to make it 2-1.
Was Jay-Z injured?
Well, I haven't heard he's injured. Hopefully he's not, but that would have been the only reason. That would have been. I mean, there were some people that were saying that...
Did Frederick play? Did he play left?
He has played left back before. I don't know if he's done it really for us. He has played left back in the past. And there were a few people saying, well, you know, Zamora's not the best defensive. He's bringing a bit of experience. It's not that bad.
Would you have maybe put
Smith over there?
Yeah.
Maybe. I guess you don't want to change too much in game. But I don't know. I just felt...
Jay-Z was dealing well with Saka, by the way.
Yeah, well, there were some people saying that Jay-Z wasn't having the best game. Except I was going, he's playing against probably the best right winger in Europe at the moment. Mm. And he hadn't done anything.
No, yeah, not really.
Not really.
A bit of the ball, but it was quieting down.
Yeah, so I didn't really... And you're saying bringing on Fredericks for his experience. Well, he didn't show much experience for the equaliser, did he? And I didn't think... I mean, I don't actually rate him that much anyway. But, yeah, I didn't really understand that one. It was a double change. Who else to be? Oh, and he brought Anthony underneath for Semenyo, which made a bit more sense, I guess, just for some legs up the pitch. But, yeah, frustrating goal to concede, as you said. I thought from where we were at the other end that it was a bloody decent save from Neto. But I don't want to criticise Neto for that one. But someone made a point to me. I thought it was a fair point. Remember the Brighton goal, Matoma's header? Both the goals, he's trying to get them out.
It's almost like he's standing behind
his lines. Yeah, it's a bit weird. I don't know. I wouldn't know enough from a keeper's perspective to know if he was, not in the best position there. But, yeah, it was obviously... Ben White did change the game, by the way. When he came on at half-time, he changed the game for a big time. And Saka was better when Ben White was there. He was very, very good. And it was his first goal for the club. So I think every single player in their squad now has scored for Arsenal, which is an outrageous
fact. So Fredericks got... maybe caught a little bit napping there.
Yeah.
And Paul Kenwood's alluded to this in his tweet that he put in today, actually, saying, still disappointed and angry. Two of their three goals were defensive mistakes. Can't keep making errors at the back. He also talks about Dongo's chance in the first half as well. Now, in amongst Arsenal's, you know, first goal, second goal, and the third goal, there were a number of shouts, VAR shouts.
I think we got away with a few.
Yeah, it felt like we did. How many were there? Three that went to VAR? Two or three? But
four in the end went to VAR.
And also, any time that Neto was taking a goal kick, their fans were harassing him.
Yeah.
I don't actually think he was doing anything wrong. But obviously, with the frustration, of course they're going to boo and of course they're going to jeer as he's taking his time, rightly so.
I think virtually, it'd be interesting to look at the stats, virtually every time we've led in the game, Neto's got booked. Because so he is known for it a little bit. But funnily enough, I don't think he got booked for time waste. I think it was dissent.
Yeah.
So he didn't actually get booked for any of his time wasting. But yeah, listen, I'm sure Arsenal fans would appreciate that. Of course, we're going to have to do things like that. And in the end, you got a goal over at a time. So time wasting didn't work for us, did it?
And that's what Paul said, as we saw on screen just then. Time wasting is not game management.
If it works, it looks good, doesn't it? For you. You've got to get the balance right. And obviously, in the end, we didn't. I think in the moment, in the heat of the moment, I was really angry that they'd scored and it was over. But looking back on the game, yeah, well, they deserve that. Smith went down during the added time. We were I do think there's probably Arsenal fans won't know this, but the VAR against us this season has been outrageous. And it was the first game that I thought, bloody hell, it's going for us today. Because it did go for us. It did. I think, I don't agree. I've seen some Arsenal fans and some people say about the Meppen one handball. I don't think that's a handball.
Right.
Because he's gone for
a header. Is that where it dropped onto his
arm? Yeah, he's missed the header and it's just landed on his arm. Where's his arm? His arm's not out. I thought that would have been harsh, but I think Senesi, went through the back of Tomiyasu. I thought that was a penalty. Mm. And there was another handball where I thought, well, we've had some handballs go against us that weren't as clear handballs as that. So, yeah, I was a little bit surprised I didn't get one of them. So we got away with a few there, but we've definitely earned that.
Oh, you know what? And I was starting to believe, mate, the more the minutes were ticking on, I remember in the vlog, 86 minutes, 87, and then 90. I was thinking that, you know, defensively, we seemed to be so resilient. We were chucking our bodies on the line. They had chances galore, Martinelli firing over the bar. We've seen the shots timeline. We've seen how much they were dominating. The heat maps will confirm that. And then they get a corner in the dying embers. A few Bournemouth fans with their stopwatches looking at the minutes and stuff. It's a minimum. And we do know that. But also there was an injury or
Smithy went down,
some game management from Adam Smith, whatever. That time is going to get added on. So we cannot be complaining about that. But corner comes over. It ends up with Reece Nelson, the substitute, and
on his weak foot.
Hell of a strike.
Yeah, it's a goal worthy of winning the game, I guess. Yeah, you'd like to think, could someone have blocked it, etc., etc. You're always going to look at that as a team that concede. But simple fact is, you know, young lads come on because of injuries, really, and come on because of lack of numbers for them. He's not a player that he's been right down the pecking order, probably after the Trossard signing. You're thinking Nelson's not going to get a kick the rest of the season. He's come on, got an assist and a goal. Fair play to him. It was a great strike. And I think that was the only thing, really. I felt for the lads, because when you put up that defensive and you're just putting your bodies on the line and then they just hit one in the top corner, it's off his weak foot. And I think we do well to make him have to go to his left when he wanted it on his right. It's just one of them things. So really good strike from him. But
That photo, mate, at the end. I mean, Reece Nelson's probably the coolest man there, just wheeling away for celebrations. But Ben White seems to be giving it to Neto there. There are players on their knees, hands on heads. Arsenal players down on the floor. It's absolutely crazy. Is that going to be a photo that maybe summarises the season when we look back? I think it could be the one that is one that Arsenal fans will look back on when they win the title. It's one that Bournemouth fans might look back on.
Yeah.
If, I don't want to say when.
Yeah, of course.
I've got my own thoughts as to whether we'll get relegated. They may have leaked onto one of my videos somewhat. However,
it could well be a defining photo. I know what you mean. I think more Arsenal will, if they were to win the league, I think there's been a few lately actually from Arsenal, but they'll look at that and go, that is absolutely monumental. 2-0 down, and
it looks like they gave their all. I mean, look at them.
Yeah,
it looks like.
I think from our perspective, yes, because of the way the goal went in. But I think if we were to go down this season, I think we'll be looking at games we should have won with teams.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
More. So, yeah. But yeah, I know what you mean from a picture point of view. That could sum up the season, couldn't it? If the team that are in elated there win the league, and the team that are absolutely down, devastated, go down. But
one thing that always surprises me when I watch games at the Emirates, obviously there's those guys behind each goal with the massive flags. Mm. How quickly those flags are raised when Arsenal score. It's like split second. Unbelievable scenes, but it was unbelievable scenes for the Arsenal fans. And there was a comment on the YouTube vlog about, you know, I tuned into this video to see the Arsenal limbs, but all I can see is some bald, sad guy's face. It's like, it's a Bournemouth fan channel. And I apologise for having to make you watch that. I mean, you didn't have to, but limbs, scenes at the Emirates. I mean, in contrast with a lot of the previous 90 minutes where I think they were relatively quiet, I've never seen the Emirates like that. And a lot of people in the media are also saying that they've never seen scenes like that as well.
Yeah, I think during the game, I thought they were okay. I think they were still a lot better than previous times I've been to the Emirates. No doubt about that. It's definitely improved, because normally you can hear a pin drop. So it's definitely improved, but I think because of the way the game was going, it weren't as raucous as it has been this season. But as you say, mate, at the end, it was crazy. It was party time, and yeah, after the game. And even, I mean, you're talking all the walk, but hours and hours after the game, when you're in, you know, you're still in London, you can still hear them. And I'm not surprised. I mean, people say, oh, they only beat Bournemouth at home and all this stuff, you know, other fans. But that's massive for them in their title charge. So I understood it. But yeah, hard for us to be on the receiving end of it.
Which, yeah, so where's the title going?
I think it's going to be close. I still think it's going to be really, really close.
Do you reckon it's going to... Okay, do you think it's going to go down to the final day?
I'm not sure. It could do. Could well do. But I think it was...
Have Arsenal got to play Man City at the Etihad?
At the Etihad, which would be a big game. But yeah, I think the Villa one, when they won at Villa, when they were behind twice and they managed to win it 4-2, I started thinking then, you know what, it might be Arsenal. They might nick... Because I've kind of been saying I think City will just have too much. But I'm starting to sway a little bit now, where I'm almost 50-50, actually. Some of the people really, really close. I think that what will help Arsenal is Man City in the Champions League and trying to do that, whereas Arsenal can rotate and not care as much about Europa League. Because Europa League, they'd only want to win that if they're outside the top four, really. Yeah. Maybe they've got a slight edge now.
Some of the people that we were with and a number of Bournemouth fans were, I think maybe a bit of salt was helping to produce this opinion, but they were saying Man City were better than what Arsenal were.
No, I disagree.
Were they?
No, I disagree. They City were a bit more ruthless on the day and better defensively because, you know, we score from kickoff and we score a set piece. So they were better defensively. They were a little bit more assured and a little bit more well-oiled machine. Mm. But Arsenal are the best footballing team I've seen this season by an absolute mile. Yeah. That's why they had over 80% of the ball. That's why they had over 30 shots. Yes, they weren't. You've got to remember, they played that game without a striker. So you put a striker in, that game could be any scoreline. So yeah, nothing against us. I do think I'm watching football this season. I think Arsenal are the best team to watch by a long way. Just City have just got that know-how, and it's going to be which one of that wins over in the end. But it's going to be exciting for the title for sure.
I don't agree with it, but you can sort of see why the top six want this like European Super League or whatever, because it seems that there's the top six. Mm. And then there's everyone else after that. I mean, like, Arsenal had 80% possession in the game. And Aging Terry says, you simply can't give a top six team that amount, no matter how good your defence is. It's great that we're scoring, but we need to keep the ball a lot more. If anything, he suggests, we need a little more Parker ball. I'll ask you about that in a sec, Tom, because I think you've probably got your own opinions about Scott Parker. But it seems to be no team at the moment that's in, like, maybe Newcastle are bridging the gap a little bit. But it seems that in the Premier League, we've either got a tactic against the big six and then there's everyone else.
Yeah, and I think you've got to have that to an extent, because if you were playing the same way against, no disrespect, but Forest or Wolves, as you were playing against Arsenal and City, that's very naive, really, because there's a different calibre of player there in both squads. But you want a bit of an identity as well, of course.
Is that the best way to... Is it the best way to win matches against big sides, though, by putting five at the back and not just playing to your strengths? Like, load in the midfield where... their midfield three that you were mentioning, I mean, unbelievable quality against Billing and Rothwell. Yeah. Rothwell that's, you know, had a handful of Premier League appearances. Phil Bill, of course, we know his quality, but...
He's more of an attacking player, though.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. And I think it's personal opinion. I've always preferred packing out a midfield against top teams rather than just putting an extra defender in, because they're going to dominate the ball and they're going to get runners. And you've got people like Ødegaard, you know, who's just going to pick up the pockets all the time. And he was everywhere. I think he had 10 shots or something ridiculous. It's a difficult one. I don't think it's as simple as just chucking in a defender, but you have got to change the way you play a little bit. What I will say, though, is I am getting a little bit frustrated with this. Well, you know, free hits get started. We're the only team in the league that hasn't got anything off the big six. The only team.
Of Crystal Palace, are they?
Yeah, they've got... I saw a stat that every team's got something off the big six. So
apart from Bournemouth, yeah.
I'll have a quick look at Palace while we're chatting. Just because you mentioned it, but I'm sure that's the case. And I don't think we've really... I mean, Chelsea was a prime example because they're in the big six but not actually going to be there this season by the looks of it. We just didn't even try and lost 2-0, and they've been on awful form. I get that they're going to be a lot better and we can't be overboard because we're playing teams of far more quality.
Yeah.
But if you're going to stay in the league, you've got to get something off one of them.
Yeah.
You've got to. I know I'm saying the big six because obviously this is about Newcastle, because obviously we've drawn them. But the traditional big six, we haven't. And everyone else will, and I think you've got to over the course of a season. We always have. In previous Premier League seasons. So, they drew a Man U. I've already looked straight away. They drew a Man U. this year, Palace. So yeah, Palace have done it. But yeah, it's just that's my concern is we've got to. We can't keep going. It's a free hit. I mean, we're going to run out of games soon when everyone goes, well, yeah, you can't expect them. We've got winnable games coming up. Well, we can't expect to be. Well, everyone else is getting stuff off these teams.
Yeah.
So we've got to, you know, we've got Liverpool at home coming up. They've dropped so many points to teams in and around us. We can't be the only team not to do it.
And you look back at some of the sides that we have played, Chelsea.
Yeah.
When they were, exactly. They've been dreadful. Yeah. They've been dreadful, and we looked really poor against them.
Awful. Yeah, awful. Yeah.
We've got to change our mentality.
It'd be funny. Liverpool were. Everyone thought they were a bit of a joke at the start of the season, how much they've fallen off, and we got beat 9. And I'm not saying we should expect to get stuff off this team, but if everyone around you is managing to find a way to pick up points off the big boys, and we're the only ones that aren't, we will go down.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. I know everyone says it's all about...
I think we will.
And then people always come back and go, yeah, but it's how you do against the other teams around you. Okay, well, we've lost to Southampton, we lost to West Ham, do you know what I mean? Mm. So... Yes, we've got to play them again, so let's see. But at the moment, all I can go on is the facts and the teams that a lot of people are saying to me that we can maybe finish above are Leeds, played and once lost. Southampton, played and once lost. West Ham, played and once lost. So if they're the three teams that... Do you know what I mean? We've got to change something.
Glad I chat to you, mate.
I'm just trying to... Yeah, and don't get me wrong, it's a long way the season's going. Hopefully... Suddenly, with these new players and the second half of the season, we'll win them.
Well, look, I'm feeling optimistic. You know, parts of that performance filled me with optimism. Did they fill Gary O'Neill with optimism? Asked if there was a moment in the game where Gary O'Neill thought that Bournemouth would win. Afterwards, he told the press, no. He referenced also Arsenal's relentlessness going forward and that it was always going to be tough. But he said that there was no moment in the game where he thought Bournemouth would win. Even at 2-0 with like half an hour to go, what?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to give him the benefit. I'm hoping that...
He's not very good with words.
No, he's absolutely crap. But I'm hoping that it was just misconstrued.
I really hope so. And that really... That's dreadful.
What he's meaning is, at no point did he think the game was won. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
That's what I'm hoping.
Okay.
That's what I'm hoping. I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. But the fact of the matter is, in press conferences and interviews, he's absolutely awful. Well, I mean, we criticised Parker for it, and he's nearly as bad, to be honest with you, which is annoying. It is annoying. You know, it's a difficult one, you know, and he hasn't really had that experience before because he hasn't been a manager before. Yeah. So he struggles with it, for sure. But I get a little bit frustrated, like I was going on then, about the big boy, how much he bigs up. I mean, he was talking about, before the City game, he was talking about like the world's best team you've ever seen. Yeah. We lose. Then you play Arsenal, the best team in the world. Oh, they're just unbelievable. And they batter everyone at home. You think, oh, okay. And you know for a fact we'll go into this Liverpool game and he'll say how amazing they are. Mm. And it's like, oh, come on. But I know these teams are good. But, you know, give the boys some, you know, if we play, you know, kind of go, you know, if we play to our level, I think we can get something, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's just always this kind of where they're so good.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. It's a little bit frustrating to hear sometimes. But I'm hoping it was misconstrued. But, yeah, I'm not a... I every time I think, Neil's got an interview, I'm a bit concerned about what he's going to say next, to be honest with you.
So the man of the match there, you can see the man of the match and the ratings as well. Phil Bill scored really well, actually, for us with 8.1.
He was very good.
I thought that was a great game for him. He got forward. He's becoming quite a box-to-box player, actually. And when he does that, you know, Bournemouth usually play relatively well. Sometimes he has his off games, we know that. But I thought... He was very good. Phil Bill there with 8.1 out of 10. Would you say that he was your man of the match?
Yeah, I'd say Senesi was close behind for me. He obviously got the other goal, but I thought he was pretty solid, blocked everything, put his head on everything. I thought them two were good. I thought, you know, the three centre-half did do that relatively well.
You know what concerns me?
Go on.
Right, so we've seen the average positions, right? Mm. The heat map against Man City that you're seeing on screen. You know what? It's not bad. You expect that against Man City. Against Arsenal, it's worse. What the hell do we do when we play Liverpool, who have just won 7-0? Is it just going to be a little thin line of green or red in our own penalty box, mate? Because we seem to like to retreat, don't we?
It can't be. It was a bit of a... Liverpool were very, very good against Man United.
Yeah, they
were. It was a bit of a freak in a way. At half-time, I thought Man United were edging the game. They were 1-0 down. But they were edging the game. Mental what happened. And that can happen at Anfield, as we know. you can't be, we can't be doing that at home. Mm. No chance. Liverpool have had a bad season. Let's be real. They're coming back a little bit, for sure. Yeah. And they've obviously got quality. But they ain't to the levels of Arsenal and City this season. They don't keep the ball like them two. They are nowhere near as defensively good. And we've scored in both of these games. So I think if we want to stay up this season, we've got to be looking to get something at home. We've got to be looking to get something at home in the home games. We've got to. Liverpool are a different beast at Anfield. But yeah, I don't want to see... Liverpool shouldn't be having 78% possession against us and 30 chances. So, you know, that's not... But I thought that straight away yesterday when you saw the scoreline. I thought, well, there's Gary Neil written in it. Well, you know, they've just won 7-0. It's going to be all defeatist again. Liverpool haven't been that good. Let's not take it off one game. Yeah, we got to look at this game and be braver and actually believe in ourselves and think we can take Liverpool on. They're awful at the back this season. We can take them on. They could see the three to Wolves. Wolves can't hit a barn door half the time. So, yeah, come on. It was one game. Let's, in a big rivalry for them, you know, let's look to try and hurt Liverpool. That's what I want. I want us to look at their defensive frailties at times and the way their fullbacks bomb on, and let's try and hurt them.
I get a sinking ship feeling, though, at the moment with Bournemouth. I just feel as though, you know, they're just waiting for the inevitable, almost.
It's my concern, as always, when you lose games like you just lost, is that's going to really hurt them. Because they will think we gave everything and we've still lost, and that could really, you know, take the wind off their sails to a degree. But equally, I just hope, this is where I feel like I'd love to believe that the coaches and the manager would be going, look what you've just done against Arsenal, how much to the wire you took them. You know, we haven't got to play Arsenal again this season. Mm. You know, come on, these are, you know, we just played the two teams that go for the title, so, you know, believe in yourselves. But that's not the murmurings you hear in press conferences, which is annoying. But I just hope the lads think, you know, let's go for a bit of no fear at home and try and have a bit of a go, mate, because sitting back and doing us the best of good at the moment.
No, it's not. Looking through some of the tweets, AFCB Matt says, bottom of the league, I've seen better managers sacked for less. How long can this project sustain itself? Surely after 4 wins in 21 games, the writing has to be on the wall if we lose against Liverpool and Villa. We also had Charlie as well, who says he's feeling very mixed. The boys played their hearts out and our performance did provide me with some reasons to be optimistic. However, 0-2 to 3-2 is unacceptable regardless of the quality of the opposition. Gary's game management is shocking and his comments, as we've alluded to, are seriously worrying as well. Ollie says, really frustrating to concede to such a wonder strike last second, but I think it gives us less doubt of going down because we're performing against a top side who are in form. Did we perform against them?
Yeah, that's what's difficult, isn't it? I don't think we did perform. We got our bodies in the way of stuff.
Yeah.
And they couldn't score. But we didn't perform, did we? They had 30 shots. You know, with all the stats we've gone over. I think that's my concern. I mean, Everton just got slapped up by Arsenal 4-0.
Yeah.
But in the other game, they won it. Do you know what I mean? And Southampton have got something off Arsenal this season. That's my concern. We're not getting anything out of it. But yeah, as you say, if you're trying to find positives, you've got to look at we took them to the wire. Hmm. I know the stats are horrific, but if you want to try and take something, we did take Arsenal to the last kick of the game.
So Ivan is glass half full. The team did great. The boys gave it their all and left everything out there. That being said, I can't believe we lost another 2-goal lead. Also, Keith Dibden as well, he questions the management experience and says that an experienced gaffer would have held their nerve and given the lads the encouragement and belief that they so sorely need at 2-0. And, you know, it's so easy to say these things in hindsight. Ashley says, my feeling is that this is not anything like the losses to Leeds and Spurs. We were away to top of the league. We also had injuries and a lack of depth on the bench. I think Pollock was on there, wasn't he? So, and two keepers as well, in order to keep up the energy levels. If he hadn't have made changes and we lost, then everyone would blame the lack of changes. All these opinions are very much hindsight things, aren't they? Richard Jackson says, we're a club with a rookie manager in our first season back at the top level. This season was always going to be tough and we were inevitably going to be found out in lots of areas. And we have been. However, we do keep improving game by game. And despite Saturday, I remain optimistic. So, look, there are some winnable games. Well, we're playing teams outside the top six. So maybe, you know, that would be conducive to a more positive, like, four at the back, more attacking flair, perhaps, and less soaking up.
Yeah, I don't think we'll continue with a five for the remainder of the season. I do think we probably will against Liverpool. I think it will be a tactic against the top teams on paper. But yeah, I agree. It's tough to remain optimistic, but I'm remaining. The only reason I've got that little bit of hope is not really mainly to do with ourselves. I mean, we can cause these problems on the break. We've shown that. It's more to do with, I think there's some poor teams in this league.
Yeah.
And the fact that we've just lost these last two, which we were concerned about because it was top two teams in the league, we're still well in it because other teams can't get any sort of run going because I think Southampton are poor, Leeds are poor. Even with the Deutsch factor, Everton ain't that good. And West Ham look awful. So Forest have dipped again. So that, you know, you've only got to get above three of them, so you never know. But we have got to be braver because, you know, people alluded to it there. I was just having a look actually, since obviously he got the job after the World Cup, and that's the main concern is 12 games he's had now, two in the cup, obviously 10 in the league, one win, two draws, nine defeats, scored eight, let in 24. Mm. I looked at that for the tweet that said, you know, other managers get sacked for less, and you can't argue with it because them stats are absolutely horrific.
Yeah.
They're horrific. And you just think, surely they're going to improve.
Mm.
Surely there's going to be a call. I thought we turned it at Wolves. And I don't want to get carried away about we didn't kick on from Wolves because the fixtures after Wolves were horrific.
Yeah.
They were really bad on paper. So that Wolves win was even more important. But we've got games coming up. I believe Liverpool starts that. And we've got winnable games. And
but then, you know, performance-wise, there were elements within Man City. There were elements within Arsenal that should give us a bit of optimism.
Yeah, for sure. My worry is always, we'll see what happens, but my worry is that people always seem to say the same things of, yeah, but if we perform against teams around us, yeah, but we don't really, and then teams are not going to allow us to break like that. Mm. Of course they won't, because they're going to be deeper than Arsenal and City. So, you know, it's going to be harder to use a counter-attacking tactic against teams that do that. When, as we kind of alluded to earlier in the show, when we've had more of the ball, in games and had chances, it was Palace home and Southampton at home where they had a low block and we didn't score any of us. So the games are all going to be very, very different. And my fear is that we're not going to be able to counter on teams in and around us, as I say, because of the low block. Have we got enough to open these teams up when we've got the ball? I'm not so sure, but we'll see.
And Stuart Eustace says, to defend Gary O'Neill here, we're not going to dominate possession against top sides and the game plan is not to sit back and hit them on the break. He's trying to be fast in transition, which can be anywhere on the pitch. And that's where our strengths are with the new players. So, look, I mean...
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's a real difficult one to, you know, sum up how we're feeling. And I think we'll leave the tweets there. Obviously, keep on giving us your opinions in the YouTube comments if you're watching on YouTube. Because I think it's one where we now just need to see the good bits from these games against the big sides. Displayed against Leicester, against Villa, against the beatable teams, and then maybe we might give ourselves a chance of staying up. Certainly, if we don't perform in those games, we are doomed, and I think Gary O'Neill's tenure as AFC Bournemouth manager is probably doomed as well. But
yeah, he's got to stay up, in my opinion. But we'll see. We'll see if we can get some of the players. It didn't sound like Lerma in particular, but Traore, it didn't sound like they were long term. So hopefully they'll be back, and we'll have some more options going into the Liverpool game. But yeah, I think you've got to get points to the teams around us that are coming, and we've got all these winnable games coming up. But equally, as I mentioned earlier, mate, every other team's got something off the big boy, so why can't we? Let's go and get something on Saturday. I wouldn't take a draw on Saturday. No chance would I take a draw. We're not in a position to take a draw at home to Liverpool.
Yeah.
You know, we're playing the name too much. We've done this at Chelsea. Oh, it's Chelsea. They're rubbish.
But, you know, but if we look at the league table, I mean, we've seen it earlier on in the show, but we'll put it back on screen now. If we stay in touch after these three games, that's a good position to be in.
It is. And I get what people are saying, that we're in touch with winnable games. Yeah, but these winnable games, we keep losing. These winnable games are West Ham, are Leeds, are Southampton. We lost them.
But surely you've seen enough against these sides to, you know, like, show that we can do something. Previously, yes, we were crap.
Yeah,
but we are showing signs now.
We are, of course we are, against the better teams. But all I've said is, when we played these teams before, we lost and we were rubbish. I don't know what we're going to be like again with these new players. I don't know. I hope that we play well and we get the points. Of course I do. But I worry that everyone's going, yeah, but don't worry about these games because we just win them six pointers.
Well, we've got Villa after Liverpool. Is it Is that a game where you're really expecting us to be, okay, now let's demonstrate this? Or is that not the opportunity to demonstrate it?
I think we've got more chance of beating Liverpool at home than we have Villa away.
Okay, so in April then, Fulham at home. Surely we've got to be demonstrating something against them.
But you just done it there. What a lot of people are doing is Liverpool. Well, you know, it's Liverpool. We've got to be beating Fulham at home. Fulham are arguably better than Liverpool this season.
So do you think if, you know, like if I'm...
Why are we playing the name again?
If as a support, you know, if I'm doing that as a supporter, I mean, I know that Gary O'Neill's obviously, with his management experience, he's going to be saying that, you know, it's just 11 against 11 in any game. So do you think that mentality is like filtering into the squad, into the players then, that, oh God, we're playing the name, not the team?
Maybe a little bit.
That Chelsea performance, you know, given how dire they are.
Yeah, that was horrific. It does not. Liverpool are a bloody good side. And it's going to be very, very difficult to get anything out of the game. I'm not saying it's not. But what I'm saying is they have lost games very comfortably this season, this year, to teams that people are going, well, that's 6 points. Yeah, but when we play them, we'll be fine. Well, they could get something off Liverpool. Yeah. Why can't we at home? Yeah. Liverpool, as I said, I think away from home, only have a few more points than us. And we're rubbish away.
Yeah.
And they've only got a few more than us. We've got to be looking at these home games in particular of getting stuff. I think Liverpool home, Fulham home, Brighton home, another difficult. But people will say Fulham home, Brighton at home. We've got to get some points there. But then are ruling out Liverpool. Brighton and Fulham have been just as good as Liverpool this season. Just as good. They're all together in the league. So, yeah.
But I don't believe. And I've got a horrible feeling the atmosphere is going to be shite on Saturday. And that's, you know, that's the last thing we want. It's a lunchtime kickoff.
Oh, yeah,
it's like it's against Liverpool, a game that's, just won 7-0. I don't, you know, and it's just, you know, because us supporters have got the same mentality.
No, I don't agree. I think...
No,
I don't agree. I think...
Sometimes I think we're like really, really quiet against the big sides.
Maybe. I thought we got behind them against City and we lost 4-1. And I thought we were better and I thought we helped. I think... The early kickoff's an absolute kill. I hate that. You've just reminded me that I'm going to struggle to get many drinks in, aren't I, this game. But... I think we've got to go into this game trying to win it and play front foot and causing problems, because when teams have done that, they've got stuff off Liverpool this season. But we haven't got City to play. We haven't got Arsenal to play. They are the two that are the best two in this league by a country mile this season.
It's all upward from here.
Yeah, it's got to be, mate. So
when you look at the amount of wins that we need, what, five?
When you say that, I'm just being honest. When you say I don't see how we're going to win five football matches.
But it doesn't sound so bad, does it? Fulham, Brighton, Leicester, West Ham, Saints, Leeds. We could do it in April, we could do it.
You know, all them, you just listed a number of teams.
Yeah.
Only one of them we beat this season.
I know, but it's just...
Ryan Christie winner. It's Leicester. Look, let's see what happens. I don't want to be too downbeat because the lads worked their bollocks off on Saturday and we were so, so close. But it's reoccurring themes that are worrying me. And that it's that... What that would have taken out of the lads to throw away another 2-goal lead. But... Yeah, we haven't. Let's see what. I hope I go. Tell you what, everyone was right, because the games that we expect to lose, yeah, we lost, but we won the games that we. Once that run was gone, we won them, and I'll go get in there. Everyone was right. Yeah. Let's see what happens. But you know, I'm looking at what's the remainder of March then? It's Liverpool.
Yeah.
Liverpool and Villa.
Yeah.
So for me, we've got minimum two. For me, yeah. Minimum. I think we've got to be getting at least... We've got to win one of them games at least.
Yeah.
For me.
Oh, my God.
And I look at... Yes, but I don't want to be... Put it this way, I don't want to be goaded. So imagine them last two, United and then Everton away at Goodison, trying to get something that's going to be difficult. Who knows? But as you said, and as a lot of people are saying, we've done all right. We've shown bits against the top two teams in the division. So let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. And these games that I keep saying that we haven't won... We've got different players now from January. We spent a lot of money. Let's see if they can perform when we really need them to.
Congratulations, Arsenal. Congratulations. He done it again!
Yeah.
You know what? Put aside my own loyalties, I'm quite pleased for Arsenal fans that have been suffering for so long. I just wish it wasn't against us, but I do feel that's probably the match that swings it in their favour. I'm sure it's a pivotal one. They'll look back at it as being pivotal. Yeah. For Bournemouth, it could equally be pivotal, but then it could be that shock to the system that maybe will cause a reaction at home against Liverpool at the weekend. If you're an Arsenal fan and you've been watching this and enjoyed it, give us a thumbs up. Also stay tuned because there's a second look. No, it's not. What's it? An away day show where we'll be reviewing your away day experience. So we'll look forward to that. And then later on in the week, we'll be looking forward to Liverpool. Can't wait for that. Thank you very much, whether you've been watching or listening. Tom, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you, mate.
And we'll see you next time. Not the cherries.
Not cherries.
Richie. Maybe on Walker. Pugh! That'll do it! That will do it! Pugh for Bournemouth! The roof at the Gold Sands is raised! Everyone here knows what that could mean to this football club.
Podcast Network.